Kaji Delek to everyone this morning. Along with that, I pray that your practice of ultimate bodhicitta, which cuts through clinging to existence, gets better and better. And your practice of relative bodhicitta, which closes the door on clinging to peace, gets better and better. And that through this improvement in both relative and ultimate bodhicitta, you are of great benefit to all of the limitless number of sentient beings, including even your enemies.
What do you see, Dom? Past Snoring ki song, raba.
You should begin by singing Lorapa's song of the profound definitive meaning, song of the snowy rain.
The
Mido samundi tikil nane tab sabdun tang gomb sabdun nite tanjurta tambare sambai tene gomb sabdun da chep sabdun de oisar sumb sena Kullu-sumba dehi nyingbo tenpen do-tang, yu-lam tabatang tenpa-de, yin-tong-tang-yang tenpa-de. Tam-tse-ki-sab-dun-de do-ti-tek-pa-re, son-san-len-de-pa tam-tse-tenpa-re, son-sa-son-si-len-de-pa-de, son-san-len-de-pa tam-tse-sik-re. Sakin je kapsu yang sami je domba yang segitu. Tetel lasu.
This song of the profound definitive meaning sung on the snowy range. The verse on the profound view and the verse on the profound fruition, it appears to me, are in harmony with the view of the middle way consequence rule, the prasangika. And the verses on profound meditation and profound conduct, since they describe clear light, luminous clarity, the true nature of mind, those seem to be in harmony with the teachings from the third turning of the wheel of Dharma, the sutras that teach about the Buddha nature, the view of the Shentong, the empty of others. And the fourth verse about Samaya is connected with the Vajrayana, but it is describing the ultimate Samaya of the Vajrayana, the genuine Samaya, which is to realize that there is no one to keep Samaya and no Samaya to keep. So this is called the Samaya that transcends boundaries of prescribed conduct. And in the Mahamudra tradition, this is called the undefiled vow. The undefiled vow means to realize the true nature of reality, where there is no vow to keep and no one to keep it. Now let us recite together the root verses from Nagarjuna's praise of Dharmadhati, the Dharmadhati of the 12th century. Independence of...
Tenji chunyi ju chuyen gende he ndodo pa semyi chuyen nongsa ngorje ta.
Now please sing the concise explanation of Dharmadhatu called the mind itself, Dharmadhatu's luminous expanse.
Yeah, ta trava kariyo.
Now what questions do you have?
Java Kandang Kanye, yeah. When that, yeah.
My question is about the relationship between the sensitivity, the objective side, and the consciousness. The question is about the relationship between the sensitivity, the object appearing outside, and the consciousness that arises as a result. So this relationship is quite clear as far as, for example, the eye consciousness is concerned, whereby you have an eye faculty that just see an object that appears to appear outside, and then an eye consciousness arises as a result. Now, it's less clear as far as the mental sensibility is concerned. Could Rinpoche explain what is happening there? What's the difference between the mental sensibility and the mental consciousness that arises? What is this mental sensibility? What is the phenomenon that is grasped by this mental sensibility? And what is the mental consciousness that arises? Is that the same as thought? Is it different?
Yigi wangbo te gongan namhi ga sarva yang mare manga pa yang mare nga ma tha pa te le yivang si ya re yivang te la te ne te ne ye chi nam chi ge re
Thanks, ma. So concerning the mental, what is called the mental sense faculty, it's a little bit of a more subtle and profound topic. The mental sense faculty is, the technical name that's given to it is the just cease, what is called the, it's even difficult to translate literally, but what it refers to, what this just ceased refers to, is that the five sense consciousnesses, it's not before they stop, and it's not after they stop. It's like the ceasing of them. And so that which is in between, there's before they cease, and their cessation is the mental sense faculty. And so that ceasing itself of the prior moment of consciousness is called the mental sense faculty. And from that ceasing of the prior moment of consciousness arises the mental consciousness itself.
Bena nave dratuna nav nam hi gama thakpate yivan re telatente dene yeke namshi chigre yang danzembe namshi chig namshi kejik tambote dodare dene topa nam to dangre tenda uji
ba. So if we apply this to hearing a sound, then first what happens is that your ear sense consciousness perceives a sound non-conceptually, and then there is this just ceased. And so what is that? Well, it's not the ear consciousness while it's still happening, and it's not the blank space after it's already finished. It's this very ceasing of that instant of ear sense consciousness. And that ceasing of the moment of ear sense consciousness gives rise to the mental consciousness. Now the mental consciousness, the sixth consciousness, it's not any one of the five sense consciousnesses, it's the sixth one. But its first instant perceives a sound, non-conceptually. It doesn't have any thoughts yet. And then the second instant of the mental consciousness perceives the sound conceptually. It starts to think about what the sound it heard was.
Rikshala jana nyik to kukdeba kapsa namshi mando tani rangi lu ne chesa chikla rik yungna rikshala jimbi lu jinamshi chikri ten gama thakpa la ten yivang chikri tani yi jinamshi chikri rikshala jimbi rikshala jimbi toga chikche tani toga chikri ten rabo chikri.
So you can think about, let's say if you're asleep. Another example, you're sleeping and then something touches your body, something comes into contact with your body. So then first you have a moment of the body sense consciousness experiencing that sensation. And then right after that, immediately after that moment of body sense consciousness, there's an instant of the mental sense consciousness. So what's in between the, what connects the moment of the body sense consciousness and the first moment of the mental consciousness is this mental sense faculty. And so it's actually the ceasing of the prior moment. And that gives rise to the moment, the first moment of mental consciousness, which is also non-conceptual. And then the second moment of the mental consciousness is when you like wake up and you think, oh, what's this touching? And you have some kind of thought about it.
Tene yi jingwan som da ke ching ma chik re nipa yoma re nipa te tene nam to dhang re nam to je ba.
So when the five sense consciousnesses perceive their objects, they do so non-conceptually, and that's called direct valid cognition. It's direct because there's no concept of the object being perceived. And then, after you have a moment of that, then you have one moment of what's called mental direct valid cognition, which means the mental consciousness, the sixth consciousness, also perceives its object directly, without any concept at all. And then, but that only lasts for one instant. And the next instant, you start to think about what you perceive.
Then gonga nam hi ngoy le che ne che na yewang da yingu da nam do che zo to sar pon do ta ni thok tra ba ni khok de ne gonga nam hi ma je ba ni se yong na kan de do yi je nam hi che ge do ta te che zo te de ne Pakchala tende Gongan nam hing gakwe and gakwe Yiwan ge pakchala tende chigger. Tenda was he go. Temato Zukta terror exempt, but one him my jena, ye say Nakale, theta was Pakchala chipam, tende nansam is he go.
Yigi namche kuram gyunmi chepa yinatene de yigi namche kama tapa
yigi namche yang gado gare ni dao ji kapsa
laso laso
yigi namche gado gare
laso
di se na da sem zamba lo da kun hi khe lemba lo la namche choto ka namche jyoy ma tenpa re ni dao da te su kapsa gado gare ta nam ni se Jesus nam hi jaya ge yeti ko ko do tene ko ge nam hi kelen bar nam hi join tem ba ge yeti ko ko do tise na tene ko ge nam hi kelen ge bu jo chen ten lu tem bar e
if we examine this mental faculty and the arising of the mental consciousness in connection with the sense consciousnesses, then it's pretty easy to understand. It's not difficult. There's a moment of sense consciousness, then that ceases, and the ceasing of that produces the mental consciousness. But what about when you wake up out of deep sleep, and you're sleeping, and then all of a sudden you just wake up without anything having contacted without any activity of the sense consciousnesses? So then, yet we need another explanation for what produced this first moment of the mental consciousness when you're first awake, the first moment of being awake. And there, the mind-only school's explanation makes the most sense because they assert the existence of the eighth consciousness, which is the base consciousness, or the alaya vijnana, that is the most subtle continuum of consciousness that doesn't even stop during moments of deep sleep or other things where the six main consciousnesses stop, but the base consciousness, the alaya's continuum, continues. And from habitual tendencies stored in this base consciousness, then causes and conditions come together, and they bring about the necessary conditions for this mental sense faculty to arise, and then you wake up and you experience the first moment of the mental consciousness.
Tonje tamba chonile, kunji tamba somde, pakcha, hencha, zincha som, songyang kunji ranle song, temyang kunji ranle tem song.
The thing is that the six consciousnesses, the five sense consciousnesses and the mental consciousness, their continua are unstable. So sometimes they're present, but then at times, like when you're in deep sleep, they stop. So You need to find, if you examine the mind, what is the continuum that never stops, no matter what. And that is, according to the mind-only school, the base consciousness. So when you look at it from this perspective, it's difficult, for there are traditions which don't assert the existence of a base consciousness, but they have this problem, which is that they can't really explain what in the mind stays in a stable and unbroken continuum during all instances of life. And so that's why it makes more sense when you look at it that way to assert as the mind-only school the existence of the base consciousness. And Milarepa also sang about this base consciousness in one of his songs called The 27 Cases of Disillusion, which he sings of 15 examples of disillusion and then 12 points which are exemplified by those 15 examples. And in the 12 points that are exemplified, then three are habits, patterns as habits, perceptions, holding on. Whenever these appear from the all-base, they appear. And when they dissolve into the all-base, they dissolve. So there are habitual tendencies, the patterns of habitual tendencies, the patterns of appearances of objects, and the patterns of clinging to the appearances, perceiving the appearances of these objects, and conceiving of the appearances of these objects. And all of these, where do they come from? Milarepa sings, the base consciousness, the alaya. And when they dissolve back into the base consciousness.
Then Milarepa song, la semsang tawa dan jana thamba nyetin de yakhi
ubar. And so if we look for which of Milarepa's songs is most connected with the view of the mind-only school, it's this song, The 27 Cases of Disillusion.
Tene nyungma thamba somda chuni ji thamba somda zo tene danda semsang dan jana samu yung samu da thamu.
And then there are also in this song three points of arising and dissolution connected with the native state, and three connected with dharmata, or essential reality. And those we can also connect with the mind-only school's view and get a very profound understanding as a result.
Tene nanjur de je thamba som de jo je lo la ma chik la bun je kumba da jana ya pore.
And finally, in the song, there are the three points of arising and dissolution connected with the yogi. And since these are connected with ghosts, appearances of ghosts, then that's best to connect it with Machik Labdrung's tradition of chö practice.
Tene rāntōng tāngyō jilō lā nā kāndē rīsā nā, tene kōngyī kē mālā nā kāndē rīsā nā, tēndir nāng zā, tēndir kē lēmbā, tēndir nāng zā, chö tām jī tēndir lā rā lēpā. Tender to drop some mato, then but drop a killing commodo, yet and tower killing commodo.
The consequence school doesn't assert the existence of a base consciousness, the prasangika. So then you might ask, well, how do they explain this event? And the way they explain it is they say it's just a dependently arisen mere appearance. It's not real. So you don't need to find a base that it comes from. You'll need to find some foundation or origin because it's not truly existent. It's just like an illusion. So there's no need to look for things like that.
Tene malarepe ranju ta thanjur je taba malarepe song ta jana oma yang ta par je bala te sapyure.
And in terms of
don tambang konde nika madopa kunjo thani don konde nika riyaba shibare.
In terms of Milarepa's songs, then the one that most profoundly explains the views of the consequence school and its counterpart in the Rantong or the empty of self, middle way philosophical tradition, the autonomy school, is Milarepa's song called The Authentic Portrait of the Middle Way. This song explains both the views of the autonomy and the consequence middle way schools, by teaching how it is that in genuine reality, neither samsara nor nirvana exist in any way, but that they appear conventionally as mere designations, as mere conceptual projections.
The Sajja Chambu La Jana Dini Danda Yes Sajja Chambu Dan Jana Hina Dini Senwa Sajja Chata Roba Hirji Hid Jatson Jinji Hido Lazuni Jatson Jizuni Kawa Yendo Sajja Chambu Semje Nelo Wa Sajja Chata Roba Sangli Then, but to be judging killing over. Let her wait.
And if we wanted to understand how this mental faculty arose from the perspective of the Mahamudra explanation, then that would be simply to say that it appears as a manifestation of the energy of mind's true nature, which is luminous clarity. It's like a creative dance of energy. Just like when you shine light through a crystal, you get rainbows appearing all over the walls. And similarly, the true nature of mind is luminous clarity, and from that all appearances shine. You don't need to try to find any other reason for it that would somehow project it as being something truly existent. You just understand it as the radiance of Mahamudra.
Rekpatang jate saje chembu ja chembu hena se zum yo nan zembe se nyelin zo ju bombo de dang ge so la tene ma to pakap to pakam tha to ge kap so ne se ni he pati tene chom tha ta jate hena tene yang ja chembu ja ge he so saje chembu he so.
You can also explain Mahamudra in a way that's more connected with the path of reasoning, as Milarepa does, by explaining the topics of the outer perceived objects, the inner perceiving mind, the aggregate of the body, and appearances of demons and ghouls from the perspective of when there is no realization, what they're like when there is realization, and what their ultimate nature is. And this you can also, in this song called distinguishing the provisional from the definitive in the context of Mahamudra, you can also explain that in connection with the philosophical schools, and then the explanation becomes vast.
Then, Drajur Marpe Lamtso te Naro Mete Nire, Naro Pe Tablan Tsovr Songbare, then Naro Churuk Siyon Sravare. Prolan Saja Chemboda. Then Mete Petrolan Saja Chembo Tava Tsovor Tin Sombari Tisena, then Danda Tangi Namji Tetsu Mete Pe Gumba, Yeba, Marpa Loti, Malarepa La Sombari, Malarepe, then Lomazo Sombari. De Hajang Yachimburi, Ting Yonghin, Don Samu, Ting Yong Don Zabri.
Marpa, the translator, had two main teachers. Out of all of his teachers, he had two main ones. From the great Pandit Naropa, he learned what is called the path of skillful means, which consists primarily of the six dharmas of Naropa. And from Maitripa, he learned the view of Mahamudra. And so in this song, Milarepa, distinguishing the provisional from the definitive in the context of Mahamudra, Milarepa sings of what his teacher, Marpa, taught him. And this being, Milarepa sings what Marpa learned from Maitripa. So first Maitripa taught it to Marpa, Marpa taught it to Milarepa, and then Milarepa sings about it to his students. So it's like that. Second question.
Yeah.
I have two questions.
Degree.
The first is, when we say that the wellspring of everything Dhammadhatu. How is that different from saying everything originates with God? Second question is, in what sense can relative truth be said to be true?
Did you say the first part, what's the difference between that originating from God?
It's to say that the wellspring of everything in existence is essentially Dhammadhatu. The difference between saying that and saying everything originates in God.
Yeah. Tala.
The wellspring of all the appearances of samsara and nirvana means that the Dhammadhatu is the true nature of everything in samsara and nirvana. And this true nature is luminous clarity. And all appearances are the energy, the play of this luminous clarity. Just like when you shine a light through a crystal, all the rainbows that appear on the walls are the play, the energy of that light. So that's what that means in the verse. If you say that, on the other hand, that all that appears originates from God, then what that means depends upon what your view of God is, and what you're asserting God to be. There are different ways of explaining what God is, and what that means depends upon what that particular view might be.
Tene wesa chuji ying de ton tambe koncho le yate tele namatam ji sumi chan niyang sepa ponda o yang hikre. Wesa de.
There is a style of explanation that describes luminous clarity, Dhammadhatu, as being ultimate God. And in that style, then, it's described as being the creator of everything.
Tene par sarahe, kanle seda nyangin den trova, doepen drevo terver sepa ye, yi norven resemla sansa losong. Same nelok saja jembula sansavar. Sansar to the sea tamje, trovi yen, jung yeda. The open driver tamje, trovi ye in the center, then the same genelok, nana sansar.
For example, the glorious Saraha, great Mahasiddha, spoke in one verse of how it is that the mind is the source of all the confusion in samsara, that one experiences in samsara, and it's also the source of everything that is desired in nirvana. is the source of everything, and so it's like a wish-fulfilling jewel. And I prostrate to this wish-fulfilling jewel. So he composed this verse of prostration to his own mind, because his own mind is the source of all confusion and all liberation.
Tenyang par nambar nanze tu, tuyantan je nambar nanze, wesa lihi giri. Yang kuyntu zangbu, chu tamjian, kondai tamjian, separ, hepar, tenyang tatu, kuyntu, tatu zangbu, kuyntu zangbu, dukya zani mewa, nyunya mewa, tenyang semjian ne lukri. Tenda bu hepar yewa.
There is the Mayana explanation that glorious Vairochana is the creator of everything. And this means, this is in this context, Vairochana means luminous clarity, the true nature of mind. And there's also the explanation of how Samantabhadra, whose name in Tibetan is Kuntuzambo, meaning always excellent, perfectly excellent, is the creator of everything. And this again is referring to true nature of mind, luminous clarity, and saying that when you understand that everything is undifferentiable from luminous clarity, then everything is completely excellent. There's nothing in the slightest way bad at all.
Sechur ten konde je naman tham je tu je do se par he par te wesa ji ying le wesa ji ying le zung zhe je naman tu je le he wa la kong par.
And the way that the world, the universe is created here is that it's instantaneous. And all appearances manifest spontaneously at the same time. And what that is referring to is how it is that all appearances are manifesting immediately, spontaneously from the luminous clarity that is the mind's true nature. They are the energy of that luminous clarity. Moment by moment, the whole universe is created again and again, manifesting from this luminous clarity.
Then the same time, the Lola, Kungi Kelante, Kungi Tenga Pakya Sepe Naman Kharwe, then the Sepa Po same time in Barhiparaya.
The mind only school asserts that the all appearances manifest as a result of habitual tendencies stored in the base consciousness. And so because they explain things that way, they call the creator mind. They say only mind is the creator. There's no other creator than that.
Then Rabu Kesar Mandrava Nato Bati Uman Tanju Jilola Kandesena Nene Chutam de Mengzang Tokwata Tokta Zang Yimbisena Ganga Kunzup the Digiri, Tigiri, Kaini Sena Mengzang Tokta Zang Malamni. Ganga Digiri Kunzup the Digiri Nangzam. In a Demba Trupa Digma Demba Trupa La Kapajab.
And what would the Middle Way Consequence School say about all of these explanations? Well, since this school explains that all phenomena are just projections, conceptual projections, they're just names and nothing more than that, then all of these explanations are fine. You can explain it any way you want, as long as you understand that it's just something that is a part of apparent reality, superficial reality. If you say that one explanation is truly existent, then that can be refuted by reasoning. But as long as you understand that whatever concept or whatever appearance it is, it's just a conceptual projection, then any explanation is fine.
Jumzin de Matigla Dra Yang Yimba, Nyin Yang Yimba, Nen Kangba Yang Yimba, Kala Yang Yimba, Tindu Yurub, Yurub, Maririla Tenda Yurub. Tenda Wote, Dra Yimba, Nyin Yimba, Tindu Yurub. Namdola tu te sosu namdola tu te tepare. Demba trobala tepamare. Demba trobama tepare. Mangzang kayang tepare.
And that's why you can explain that just one person is a friend, is an enemy, at the same time as being a friend and an enemy, is a meal, is a house to live in. Because it just depends upon the individual's concepts and projections about how they view that person. And since all of these different identities are just conceptual projections and superficial reality, then they're all perfectly fine.
And then also, kala yang yinba, sama yang yinba, sama po yang yinba, yang tigre, nazo zukodere. Kala sagado, yang, tuno yenda nazo so sagare, nikare.
That's why our bodies can at the same time be eaters and eaten. We can be what eats, and we can also be what other animals eat.
ཁྱི ཕྱད མ ཁྱི ཕྱི ཁྱི
So the second question was, in relative truth, what is true? Or in alternatively, in apparent reality, what is real? And what's real, what that second part means there, truth or real, is that we confusedly, mistakenly believe these appearances to be real. So that's why it's real, because we think it is. It's not because it has any reality or truth to it of its own, but just because we project it to be truly existent. And that's our confusion. And the example is the example of a dream. All of the appearances in a dream are relative appearances. They're just mere appearances. But if you don't know you're dreaming, they're very real. And they cause you all kinds of suffering. If you're being burned in a fire in a dream and you think it's real, you suffer a lot. Even though there really is no fire, you think it is. You think there is one. Same thing with being carried away in water and so forth. And so that we believe appearances to be true or real is why this word is used there. But it's not because they are. It's just a
perception.
So at this first stage of analysis, it's explained to us that the relative truth is actually false, and that ultimate truth is what is genuine and real. But also, that explanation itself is just a conceptual explanation. Because true and false, real and unreal, are just independently existent concepts. They don't have any reality to them either. So then if you ask, what is the true nature of reality? The answer is that it's beyond the ideas of true and false. It's beyond any idea we might have about what it might
mean. Karma barangzong dorji. Tamje denmen zoymen de chuda yin dong genan. Tamje denba yamare zomba Chunanga dawa de denba yamare zomba yamar. Dende nangza. Dende nangza yin besena nangdong yin. Denda wuxi. Denda wote xie zur yapur samba yin.
As the third Karmapa, Rangchung Dorje said, everything is neither true nor false. Things are just like water moves. This the wise ones know. So You can't say that things are true, are real. You can't say that they are false or unreal. Their nature transcends both of these concepts. So what are they like? They're just like the moons that appear in pools of water. They are neither there nor not there. They are neither real nor unreal. They are just dependently arisen mere appearances.
Nelong tatok ngoma te deni yenme ba deni yenme deni yenme te nyamni re konde nyamni siye nyamni sanje da simji nyamni tamje nyamba ni re nyamni mayim bu chuje gam.
And so the explanation that differentiates between the two truths, genuine and apparent, is just a conceptual explanation. And in the abiding nature of reality, the two truths are undifferentiable. The two truths are of the nature of equality. And so samsara and nirvana are equality. Existence and peace are equality. Buddhas and sentient beings are equality. There's really no difference between any of these things. There's not a single phenomenon that is somehow outside the sphere of equality.
Tene rikpe tenje thesung che traba ta te lensa bala ndanda thanjo che lok te sabhi thakyur len tham je thanjo che lok de lok
go. So this is the explanation of the middle way consequence school, and it is pinnacle of as far as you can take reasoning. When you reason and you analyze, eventually end up at the view of the consequence school. And so when people ask questions based on trying to logically analyze things, then the best place to end the answer is with the explanation of the consequence. So, for example, if somebody asks, is there karmic cause or result? Does karma exist or not? Then the best answer is to explain that its true nature, the true nature of karma, transcends existence, non-existence, and any other idea we might have. It's beyond all conceptual fabrications. And that's how the consequence school explains that.
Namdok trunta chikchir toka matopala tende tambo yopa ka mepak ke lingre. Lende demba tropa ka te matopa mepak ke lingre. Thartok mepak ka ne tene
Because with our concepts at the level that they are, we can't immediately understand how things transcend all conceptual fabrications, then it's taught in stages. And first we're taught about how true existence is refuted. And when true existence is refuted, then you get the explanations of how things don't really exist. But after that, then non-existence must also be refuted. Because non-existence is also just a conceptual projection. And then you realize that the true nature of reality is beyond all conceptual fabrication. And this is the best way to answer scientists' questions, for example. Because if scientists ask about karma, and then you say, well, karma doesn't exist, then that can be interpreted as a nihilistic view. So ultimately, the best answer is that the true nature of karma and everything else is beyond the concepts of existence and non-existence.
Jose Chepe looks for the Mebare, tene pete no len mene lende yure be se lende yomar so taktare na su che na yen lende yomar taktare se gire se na so ta na su che pa ta ta pare se marbe
the tradition of or the level of slight analysis is to assert non-existence. So you can also find an occasion to say that if a scientist says, I don't believe in karma, then you can say, well, neither do we. Because when you analyze karma, you can't find anything to exist. So your answer is exactly right. You don't find anything there.
Then you mean you imagine talent there, but they you imagine talent there, not in the Dagmudova.
So then, if you say that the true nature of reality is beyond existence and non existence both, it's beyond all conceptual fabrications, then you might deviate from your scientist friend's explanation.
Yuji Sava Takparta, Miji Sava Cheparta. They said, you don't name Mabal and Kepe Naber Mazavas. You sana Takpare, me sana Chetare. Jimson Tisan and Kepa Namjo Jeloto than by Hira Jinsu. Then you made Talamane Bagogondosa. Yuji Sava Takparta, Miji Sava Cheparta. Jimson Tisan. Then, Kepa Namjo, then by your image and talent, my neighbor could do something. Dr. Marbe.
As the protector Nagarjuna writes in his fundamental wisdom of the middle way, when you say existence, that's the view of realism. When you say non existence, that's the view of nihilism. And therefore, the wise ones neither assert existence nor non existence. So if you say, just to say that something exists, you fall into the extreme of realism or permanence. And if you say non-existence, you fall into the extreme of nihilism or extinction. And that's why the highest understanding is to understand how it is that reality is beyond existence and non-existence both. So it's like that. Other questions?
Jay, me, some. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. Yeah.
If all things arise from Dhammadhatu, the nature of Dhammadhatu is luminous clarity, how is it that, say, in deep sleep, we seem to
deep
have
sleep.
No awareness?
Yeah. Ha ha. Yeah.
So, Chubi Ying, Yunmi Cheba Yina, Nama Tam Chubi, Junchi Yina, Yelena, Nitupola, Rikba Tsan and Meba, Dabo Tarnam, where Gibson was.
Was that the Wesa te yang drupa lende pare. Yopa, mepa, jun, chepa, machepa, tamje lende gre. Kangisena wesa te, nam doke, your mare, yopa, jun, chepa, machepa, yopa, mepa, the sotokare, drupare. Then the wesa se no kunzo de lavara mata, te yang drupa lende.
We have to understand about luminous clarity is that it too, in its true nature, is beyond conceptual fabrication. So you can't say that its continuum is uninterrupted or gets interrupted. You can't say it's the source or not the source. You can't say that it exists or doesn't exist. In its nature, it's beyond all conceptual fabrication. Even the term luminous clarity, Dharmadhatu, is a conceptual projection. From its own side, that term isn't anywhere to be found.
Gombe nyamnyonga chata. Konde jin chaki chani kunzo to vaisa se khepara ma to vaisa rang tene trupala de.
describe meditation experience. It's a word used to describe the source of the appearances of samsara and nirvana, but it's just a word. And from its own perspective, that word is nowhere to be found.
Jumsin kind is sena, tani da, tek da tani, the main ganga tripare, 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 the nam doka takare, the nelo mama, to nam do lende, but tripare lende, but yako.
The reason for this is that whatever word or term it might be, it's just a conceptual projection. And the true nature of reality is inexpressible and inconceivable.
Gombuluruke, Tungu Hijam, the Mudong Hijam Mazat. Nida Nimi Mazat, the Dagbaton to Jobar Sasumba. Tani Dagbaton to Tiki Gogodo, Natsuba Jogu, Jugu, Tong, Mudong, Nika, Nimi, so you jugu. In a young day, Tani Jacobs.
Protector Nagarjuna also writes, it is not empty, it is not not empty, it is not both, it is not neither. Use these terms as mere conceptual designations. So when you're describing things in a conventional context and giving explanations, then sometimes you have to say empty, sometimes you have to say not empty, and so forth. But we always have to understand that whatever explanation is, it's all in the context of conventional reality. It's not a genuine description, because genuine reality can't be described.
Then I Similarly,
in when we're using these terms and conventional explanations, we can also look at the songs of the realized siddhas. And they sang a lot about how describing the true nature of mind as luminous clarity, and also describing it as beyond conceptual fabrication. So it's like that.
Nyeba, true Christian. Yeah.
What is the connection like between the Dharmadhatu and Sambhogakaya? That connection is incredibly excellent. It's a connection of undifferentiability. Because the Sambhogakaya manifests as the energy and play of luminous clarity that is Dharmadhatu. And if there were no luminous clarity, the Sambhogakaya could not manifest.
Then yang longko me na troka yang me pechap kare.
And if there were no Sambhogakaya, there could be no Nirmanakaya.
This is na chetang kosom jo namri ya pa kapso tene semje ne lo satong yin mi ko.
And that's why when the three kayas are explained, then it's usually from the perspective of explanation of the true nature of mind being clarity and emptiness under Raja.
Tante Chiranga Longo the Sir the Yopalongo Lasambare. Travate. Sella Yopalongo.
So your question seems to be coming from the perspective of the outer Sambhogakaya, but one can also understand the three kayas from the perspective of being aspects of the true nature of mind. So the mind's emptiness of essence is the Dharmakaya. Its nature being luminosity is the Sambhogakaya. And its unceasing, unimpeded movement of images in the mind is the Nirmanakaya. This Nirmanakaya is describing how the images in the mind are unceasing and they're unimpeded by anything. Just like if you look at a screensaver on a computer screen, then one image can appear after the other, moving in all different kinds of ways and directions, and nothing stops that from happening.
Tene surdo ye poko kosom te ser tanda namdo ka takpa tan thimben juk sore.
The explanation of the three kayas being outside the true nature of the mind is an explanation that is connected with conceptual projections. So these that the three kayas could be outside the mind is just a conceptual projection
itself.
If the three kayas really existed outside the mind and they were truly existent, then all phenomena would not be pervaded by emptiness. They would not be of the nature of emptiness. The three kayas would be truly existent, and then everything that wasn't the three kayas, including a lot of bad stuff, would also be truly existent. That wouldn't be very good.
Then Nanjur Jivansa Malare Pechang Drava Chuli Oh Jijan Rwanda Nyamni Jeba Dunyinsa Kosom Ranchi Tokta Na Lai Jirim Jidi Tar Samu Chudi Jijan Rwanda Kosom Ranchi De Lundrup De Jibar Kosom Ranchi An Lundrup To Bukapsu Lai Jirim De Su Jisu Jina Jun Jibu Marwe Jirim Se Jidi Nam Do Tapa Samno Tamare Rang Lai Yin Min Karpu Yin La Karpu Yin La Marpu Yin La Serpu Yin Samu Do Tuzu Tam Che Samno Tamu Chudi Samno tam chute nam dok chute te jena ya chapa mudu rong.
As Balarama, the Lord of Yogis, sings in his song called Equality and the Seven Things to Forget, when I know the three kayas are present naturally, I forget all about the deity's generation stage practice. It's okay to forget the Dharma made of concepts. So when I realize that the three kayas are naturally present, spontaneously present, and you don't have to do anything to create them, they're already there from the very beginning, then I forget about generation stage practice. Well, isn't that a problem if you forget generation stage practice? No, it's not. Rabba says, because it's okay to forget conceptual Dharma, to forget the Dharma that's just a conceptual projection. You have to think, is the deity white? Is it red? What's it holding? All this kind of stuff. It's just conceptual projection. It's okay to forget about that when you realize the three kayas are present naturally.
Then the malaria bhaji song de lai Jirim Jijan Rung Tsikye Te Yintong Mawa So La Tena Kar Chimpore Yintong Mawa Yintong La Himyuk Tse Ba So La Ka Chimpore Kang Yin Se Na Kosom Nidup Shikidwa.
Yeah. So this verse is where Milarepa sings of the three kayas being naturally present. It is an important one for those who are proponents of the Shentong empty of other school. Those who are doing research into the Shentong view to know, because it explains about how the three kayas are naturally present in the true nature of mind.
The net and sanctuary are Nika, but there. Then they yendong la kabo mambo, yendong la himbyo zongi mambo.
Here in the 21st century, there are many people who like the Shentong view.
Then moman zamling julok tamje ji leble re, dombo yi singin la chepa tang mara singin do, tanda dombo cha zon. Tise no, then they tumong tang garba mangi teso la, then they tang sang himbyo jimbo zogo do, yako zogo do.
So in the old days, everybody thought, most people thought the world was flat. And if anybody said the world was round, they might throw you in prison for having such a heretical belief. But then people did research, and they found out the world was round after all. And similarly, these days that people explain that the Shentong view, and they say that three kayas are present naturally, that enlightenment is present naturally as the true nature of mind. And others refute that and say that's the view of the non-Buddhist, that's not a Buddhist view. But you can do research into that and show that it really is an incredibly wonderful and profound
view.
This is an incredibly opportune moment in history to do research, because the conditions conducive to doing research are so plentiful. You can, using computers and other technology, get access to so many different texts and look at them and compare them at the same time. And I didn't think that this would happen so fast, so I was even surprised how fast this happened, but with computers and everything, you can look at so much at the same time. And for example, there's the great Buddhist scholar, his name is Jeffrey Hopkins, and he's looking into a text that was composed by Jetsongkhapa, the Lord Tsongkhapa, called Excellently Distinguishing the Provisional from the Definitive. In Tibet, it's called Zhangye Lekshen Yingbo. And he's collected 27 different commentaries on this text. The ones he couldn't find in central Tibet, he found in Abdo and Golo. The ones he couldn't find in Abdo and Golo, he found in central Tibet. So he's probably brought together the biggest collection of commentaries on this text. And he can put them all on his computer and do computer searches and see like where the words are the same and where they're different. And it's very easy to do research these days. So if you want to do research, do it. All the conditions are there for you to do it.
Right. sakung ting ni wo lan ro wo ni ting lan ro ting ni ting lan ro wo ni wo lan ro to.
And you can travel all over the world to find your what you want into your text to get to do research or whatever you're doing research into. If you have the money, then you can go. You can go from the top of the world to the bottom of the world. You can go from the bottom of the world to the top of the world very easily these days.
The come de la deni pecha yuna dola mangbu yuna nam kang kang banana ya. Mamajik doso tanda cing doya ke tanda si usi kalau rola saya ni kita. Kau tak doa tu.
These days, if you have enough money, you can even fly in space. So far, two men have paid $20 million each, and they've gone up in the space station. And now that people are lining up to do that, so that's the kind of research you want to do. If you have enough money, you can do it.
Yeah, the pecha mangbo yo na yang deva chila yendo to bodhgaya lando jisanjo malan do tene malam mangbo jamro so mangutan deva chila yendo.
If you wanna spend your money to get yourself into deva chen Sukhavati, the pure land, you can also do that. How to do that? Well, you buy a ticket to India and you go to Bodhgaya and you get yourself a copy of the Samantabhadra Aspiration Prayer, the King of Aspiration Prayers, and you recite that a lot, and then you'll be reborn in Devachan, no problem.
That is a tough one. Yeah, got it. Good. Yeah. When? Yeah. Yeah. Grandfather.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It comes from a tradition that basically believes in trying to listen to the wisdom of the ancestral village. Okay? So he says to me, he's been seeing a lot of the ancestors coming to see him, talking to him, and he wanted to know how to deal with that because he's certainly not looking for them, but they seem to be coming towards him. So in the context, how do you explain emptiness, appearance emptiness, in that context, in a tradition like that?
Yeah. Kidding, Pata. Apa, apa, apa? Yeah.
The grandmother of Chubhubha, the Mitokoma, la so one another, so the Ganda Koma, Mitokoma, la so one Mamutam, and Mana Mamutam, and then Konso Yongito. Dine Kongi, dine Konso Yongi, Deva Chembo, and Yene, Yane, and Yongito. Dine Kongi, Chuluki, Wanachena, dine Konga, Nantong, Yermela, Kade, Lapo.
Nantong, Yemi, Giring Padar, Jizog, Nantong, Yemi, Dartong, Yemi, Sem Satong, Yemi, Deshi, Ningbo, Yimba. Deshi Ningbo de Sanje Ningbo Yamba. Sanje Ningbo Ubisen Sanje the same Yamba Nyimba. Then that would have. Hey, Yaburava.
To explain appearance and emptiness to your grandfather, you should explain to him first that his own body is appearance and emptiness, that his speech is appearance and emptiness, and his mind is appearance and is clarity and emptiness. Because his body, speech, and mind is all an expression of the Buddha nature. And since all phenomena are an expression of the Buddha nature, they're all appearance and emptiness undifferentiable. And for that reason, there's no difference between sentient beings and Buddhas. They're all of the nature of equality in being the Buddha nature. And that would be a great way to explain it.
Mm, mare, Tejin hikpa rangin kan, tenen roba rangin. Tejin hikpa rangin min, roba teye rangin min. Tejin hikpa tang, simjin ni rangin chikpa rangin la che me bar chepa. Ten rava taba shuja.
As the protector Nagarjuna wrote, whatever is the nature of the Tathagata, that is the nature of wandering beings. Just as the Tathagata has no inherent nature, wandering beings have no inherent nature either. And since neither has any true existence, their nature is equality. That's the view you should explain to me.
Yangna, and then Dehinim Bhutavas. Dehinim Bhutokin, you know, Chap, Rawandada, Tamje, Sanjit, Dana, Nene, Simjin Kayami, somewhere. Dehinim Bhutap, Jim Sanjit, Sorbata, Malam Jam, the Digital.
Also, it said in the sutras, the Buddha nature pervades all sentient beings equally. And therefore, there is not a single one whose essence is not the enlightened essence. And so once you understand that, you can see the Buddha nature in everything. And if he understands that and makes his supplications and aspirations to the ancestors without view, then that would be great.
Teta gumba manjur vizir. Dehi Ningbu Simjin Tamje La Chapang Hiuna, De Drumna Yango do Togri Sigurte, a young Tsiki Yang Yir.
And that's why there's a teaching that if you have certainty that the Buddha nature is present in all beings, then when you do deity practice, you can visualize yourself as a demon and you'd still attain enlightenment, you'd still attain city, because you knew that there's really no difference between a deity and a demon.
They say,
If you know that, and Sarvabhaja composes a verse, if you know that the Buddha nature is present in everyone, then you could visualize yourself as a small fry demon and you'd still attain enlightenment.
De chung jung de sem de ne lo de hi nyin mo re tan dam je san je re chap su de san na mo ru pe.
Because it might just be a tiny little demon somewhere, it's not very much of anything, but if you have complete confidence that within that demon is the Buddha nature, you could supplicate the demon and receive the same blessings as you would
Sanje Jinyin Buddha said, no, Kungala Dana, don't get color of what's it, some robots of it.
And you could also then develop the view that, oh, this demon might appear as a demon, but its true nature is really the Buddha nature. And so then you develop pure vision towards the demon and you even want to help it. So that's also good.
Yeah, grandpa, like, yeah,
now you have some good things to tell your grandpa.
Thank you. We are. Father, like the mother, make it.
Why are you only teaching your grandfather?
Grandma's goes as
visiting. People are shit,
So then this view is very important.
Your grandmother is a ghost that's bothering your grandfather, then your grandfather should know that she has the Buddha nature.
Ah, there you go.
That's good.
Okay. Ta drapa chare tanda nga zo.
So our time is up for this morning.
Ta ba tung bi hi te yang ja chik tang ta.
Let's sing the ultimate view meditation time.
Kangi sena ta ba tung bi hi. Ta ba tung bi hi te. Kangko ni do sam ta. Oh. Ta re sho ba tang song. Ta ba tung bi hi te chik ta. Chu yin do ba tang da ge do ta.
Because
the view tied in this song and the
view meditation tied in conversion are
harmony with the explanation of the praise of Dharma Dhatu. Dharma Dhatu, Bhajadhatu. Yeah.
We should now sing the seven ways things shine inside and out and practice recitation meditation.
Recitation. Meditation. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Here song, Simi Chuyen Lumsara. Simi Chuyen Lumsara Chachi Yangsi Chir, the Nitra.